Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this day where we can come and learn more of you. And we just thank you for this opportunity to harmonize all the Gospels that we might have a full picture of those last week where we're at right now, but especially those last 3 years that we've walked with you. We just thank you and praise you for what we're learning concerning yourself and concerning ourselves. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Now, if you look at your harmony of the Gospels, we're in the sixth day. All right. Sixth day of Jesus last week. And you'll notice that we got two aspects we're going to look at today. So it should be a fairly short lesson because Jesus is going to celebrate the Passover. And notice that it appears in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but how many verses right there? Just what? One in each one. So this first part we're going to get over really quick. So let's talk about how Jesus celebrates the Passover. Remember, we saw last week he sent two of his disciples to go and prepare, get the place ready. Well, the place is ready. Now Jesus is going to celebrate it. And so we're talking about what did Jesus and his 12 apostles do that evening? Well, Matthew 26, verse 20 says this. Now, when the 11 was come, he sat down with the 12. Now look at Mark, what Mark says. And in the evening, he cometh with the 12. Luke. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. So we see who celebrates now the Passover, the Lord Jesus Christ and his 12 apostles, all right? So that means also the one who would betray him, Judas, was present, okay? Now, we read that one verse. Now, is there any possible thing that we could learn concerning our Lord, concerning mankind in general? And is there any way that we might, in that single verse, use it to apply to change our behavior? One verse, can it change our behavior? What did we learn? What did we learn about our Lord? Oh, go ahead, Sharon. God desires fellowship with us. Sure, that was a point we can learn. Anything else? All right. That's good. Yes, you can. Amen. Amen. With the Lord and with others. Now, as you look at this, we note that the Lord did not have the Passover with everybody, did he? He had the Passover with 12. What else does that teach us about the nature of our God? Well, okay, we know he's jealous, but what about this aspect here? Who is he? He has chosen out just 12 to fellowship with. And, of course, one of them is a betrayer, a Judas. So we see that even in the heart of God, that even amongst his chosen, there are his chosen. The Lord Jesus had 12, even the 12, all right? Which were set amongst, remember, he had also 70, so now he's got the 12. And there were others besides that. So we got 12, but we can even go back closer than that. Who was this three? Peter, James, and John. So we had those. And then we can even go back, and who was it that rested on his breast? John. So what's the point I'm trying to make? The point I'm trying to make is that the Lord has favorites. All right? That's not fair. But remember Romans 10. Romans 9, I should say. Romans 9, you know, he says, look it. I got two twins, Jacob and Esau. But guess what? Jacob I've chosen. And that was because of Jacob's high moral character, right? No. The grabber, the thief, if you will, the robber. No, It's if God desires to put a special affection on an individual, he can do that. That's his prerogative. And what we see is he's not having the Passover with everybody. He's got 12 that he's chosen out to have the Passover with. And again, amongst those 12, there's one who is a Judas, see? Oh, all right, so we see that. What about mankind? What's it teach us about mankind? I just gave it away. Amongst the righteous, there's always, most likely, a what? A traitor, a Judas, an unrighteous one. Listen to these words. I'm going to read to you out of, this is 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I'm reading verse 19. He says, nevertheless, the foundation of God, it standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Now, from John 6, we know that the Lord knew what Judas was going to do, all right? Obviously, right? Because he's omniscient. But here it says, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And he says, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth. He says, some to honor and some to dishonor. So he's talking in the church. In God's church, there will be, amongst the righteous, there will be some that are unrighteous. And this is the way it's been from the beginning of time. This is certainly the way it's been. Here he is, the Lord is taking communion. He is having the Passover. And there's an unrighteous one amongst them. To teach us, at least in part, there will always be unrighteous ones amongst us. Well, okay, how might these verses then change our behavior? You look at that and you say, all right, he had 12. But when you look at that, you see, well, all right, the Lord had chosen 12 to commune with them. He's chosen you and I to commune with him. All right, we're going to be partakers of the Great Supper. So right off the bat, what kind of spirit ought that create in us? A spirit of what? Thankfulness. We'll be thankful as we look at something like this, knowing, you know what? I wasn't chosen as a 12, but I've been chosen. And, but what else you read something like this and what might it motivate you to do? Because there's 12, but amongst the 12, there's what? One's a traitor. So it ought to be motivate us not to be a traitor. Anybody? Somebody else on just those single verses? All right. Well, let's take a look at the next aspect. Here we have Jesus' exhortation concerning the disciples' pride. Next week, we're going to look at the Lord's example of how to demonstrate humility. But now he's going to be dealing with the disciples' pride. Now notice, we're not going to be jumping around very many places, are we? We're in Luke chapter 22, and we're going to be looking at verses 24 through 30, because only Luke shares this account with us. Well, the first question I put forth is this. What were the apostles, what were they arguing about? Well, we read in verse 24, and there was also a strife among them. And what was it? Well, which of them should be accounted the greatest? All right. Now, you got to assume that they're at the Passover. And remember, you know, when you're taking the Passover, many times they recline to do so. And, here is the guest of honor, the Lord. Then what would they do next? Do you remember? Where would the most important individuals, when they would come in, they would be closer to the what? Yeah. And the least important, they would be placed further away. Remember, you know, at one time when the Lord talked about, look, you know, don't be trying to get up there to get first, because what happens, somebody else more important, you come, you go in the back. That's humiliating. You might better be in the back and have the Lord call you to come to the front. But what else do we see here now? Okay, because, and so maybe you can see, all right, John is here or Peter's here, and you can see a situation. I should be up there. How come I'm not over there? And but anyway, there's a strife. And hey, who should be the greatest? And maybe in the aspect of that, where they should be seated. But what are the two root sins? Because causing strife, pride and lust. Right, pride and lust. Concerning lust, from whence cometh fightings among you? He says, come they not hence of your lust that war in your members? And then concerning pride, you know, only by pride cometh contention. So those are the two root sins, pride and lust. Now, how could you see them applying here? Any thoughts? I mean, this is where you can let your mind do a little imagining. How might they want us the aspect about the lust? Because remember, lust is something, I want something, and if I can't get it, I get angry, or if I have something, it's taken from me, I get angry. So how much you see the lust involved here in the strife? Anybody? Just the aspect of what? Yeah, just the aspect of wanting to be closer. I want to be sit closer. And you can see when I can't sit closer, then I get, oh, give him the old elbow, right? And, of course, the pride, too. Next question. Who did Jesus say exercise authority over the Gentiles? Now, he's about to give them a little lesson here. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. And so when you're thinking about the kings of the Gentiles, most likely Lord had in his mind those who were unregenerate, all right, the unsaved. The kings of the Gentiles, they exercised lordship over them. Now, so who didn't Jesus want them to act like? Now, he's going to get into a little bit more, but if you just had that right there, and he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles, they exercise lordship over them. He's really saying to them, what? I don't want you to act like the Gentiles. Don't act like the unsaved. And wanting to lord over others. Oh, the kings of the Gentiles, they exercise lordship over them. Well then, how did Jesus say those who exercise authority over the Gentiles were referred to? Yeah, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. All right? You know, that's what they were called. And how does Jesus say they shouldn't act? But ye shall not be so. Not to be acting like them. Ye shall not be so. Well, then, how does Jesus say they should act? But he that's greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And he that is chief, as he that doth serve. All right, so I sum it up. Hey, instead of seeking to be served, they needed to seek to serve. You think that's a fair appraisal of what Jesus is saying to them? You know, you don't try to be like the world. The world wants to lord over everybody. I want you to want to serve everybody. And let's take a look. This is probably a good thing for us to do. Take a look at Philippians chapter 2. Because the Lord lays it out here for us. Now, this is going to be not only his exhortation, but more so his example seen through the inspired writings of the Apostle Paul. He is talking about, in verse 1, if, or also that pronoun can be translated, or since, not pronoun, but if since there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if or since thy any comfort of love, if or since thy fellowship of the Spirit, if or since any bowels or mercies. In other words, man, if you are in Christ, if you've experienced his love, if you experience his fellowship of the Spirit and his mercies, and he says, all right, fulfilling my joy, make me happy, he says to the church at Philippi. How can I do that? Well, you ought to be one-minded. He says you ought to have the same love. You ought to be of one accord, of one mind. So you see what he's emphasizing. He's emphasizing it. Let there be unity in the church. Now, watch how he says this can happen. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. All right, there was strife among them, wasn't it, to his disciples? But put off strife, but do what? Put on in lowliness of mind. The word lowliness is the word humility. Put on humility of mind. Let each, how do you put on humility? How do you demonstrate humility? Well, let each esteem other better than themselves. Could you explain that a little bit more, Paul? Well, all right. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So who is Paul encouraging them? What is Paul encouraging them to do? As demonstrating humility. Submit and serve. And serve willingly. Serve cheerfully. Serve yourself. Serve others. Serve others. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now, here we go. Let this mind, okay, we need to have the mind, not the mind of your mate, not the mind of somebody else, but let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We need to have the mind of Christ. Watch. Who being in the form of God. Now, here's God. He did not think it robbery to be equal with God. You know what he did? He made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant and was made in likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, here we go, he humbled himself. How did he demonstrate that humility? And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And the result of the Lord humbling himself, being obedient to the Father and serving by going to the cross, dying for others, well, here's the reward. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So here we have this marvelous exhortation along with this marvelous example. And the example being of the Lord Jesus Christ, who humbled himself. All right? Now, keeping those thoughts in mind, let's go back to our sheet. The Lord has said they should not act like the Gentiles, lording it over one another. Rather, they should be serving one another. And we saw the example in Philippians 2. Now, on the bottom of that page, what question does Jesus ask of his apostles? Verse 27, first part of it. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Now, how do you suppose Jesus wanted his apostles to answer that question? What's greater? And he just put the question, who is the greater? The one that sits at meat, in other words, the one sitting, being waited on, or the one who's serving the meat? Who's the greater? Now, first of all, imagine in mind what they would say. Don't imagine what Jesus wanted them to say, but imagine what they would say. They would say most likely what? Who's the greater? The one that was being the ones being served. Now, what did the Lord want them to say? The one who was serving. Well, how would you answer the Lord's question? You know, as you look at that, well, now you say, I know how to answer it. Huh. She said, serve, okay. Well, hopefully that was, you know, what was in your mind. Very last question on this first sheet. How does Jesus answer his own question? Is not he that sitteth at meat? So, what has the Lord just said? Because he's asked to them, who do you say? Who's greater? And he's anticipating that they're going to say the one that sits at meat. But look at the top of your next sheet. How does Jesus describe himself? The one who served or the one serving? He says, but I'm among you as he that doth serve. Now, Lord, he knows what's in their hearts. He knows what's in their minds. He didn't have to ask this question for his sake because he knew how they would answer. Well, the one who is set to be served is the greater. He knew. But he says, I want you to understand, I came not to be served. I came to serve. And so then who's the greatest? Jesus says, but I'm among you as he that doth serve. Who's the greatest? The greatest, of course, is Jesus, who set forth the example of the one who serves is the greatest. Now, what reward is in that? Come on, I want to be served. Come serve me. I'm the greatest. Minister to me. Bring me my slippers and my pipe because I want to be served. But the Lord says, you know what? I didn't come to be served. I come to serve. Now watch. What's the reward in such a thing? Verse 28. What did Jesus say his apostles had done? Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. They're still with the Lord, weren't they? Now, that night, one of them would depart, not probably only an hour later. But at this point, there was 12 that had still stayed with the Lord in his temptations, all the trials and the tribulations. Because early in his 3-year ministry, he began to choose the 12, and these 12 had remained with him. Look at the next question, verse 29. How would Jesus reward them for suffering while serving? And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me. He's going to give them, because we read in Philippians, right? What was going to happen? Well, wherefore God hath highly exalted him, given him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. Every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Well, as the Father has appointed unto me, I've appointed unto you a kingdom. Look at verse 30. And what does Jesus say that reward would involve? Well, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So, yes, there he has a special, these 12. Now, Judas, we know, will be removed and another put in his place. But these 12, at least his 12 apostles, have a special place with the Lord. And those who will remain until the end. Of course, as we know, Judas will not. But part of their blessing is that they're going to be rewarded. And their part of that is eating and drinking at his table. So as we look at, well, let's not get into that yet. But so I ask you the question, you know, are there any rewards for serving the Lord Jesus? And, of course, there are. Do you have on your sheet the list of 5? Okay, because this is my old sheet because I don't have it. Yeah, I should have them right there, so thank you. So here are some rewards for faithfully serving the Lord. We talked about the crown for faithfully suffering. There's a crown for faithfully submitting, for stimulating others to keep on keeping other on, for faithfully standing firm when you're experiencing all kinds of trials and tribulations and you're looking forward to His Lord's coming. And, of course, there's one for faithfully shepherding. But, yeah, there are crowns that... Now, question. Just as the Lord had a special 12, He also had a special reward for those 12. They're going to judge the 12 tribes of Israel. Not everybody's going to do that because we're not Jews. So there's a special 12. They have a special reward. But as we look at these crowns, will everybody receive all those crowns? And the answer is no. So we see that the Lord has special blessings for special individuals. And we're not all the same. Now, obviously, is there a part that we can play in receiving the crowns? And the answer is, yeah, to some degree. If you're a woman, you can't get a crown for faithfully shepherding, because that's a male thing. So, boy, you shut out on that door. Oh, that's just not fair. Wait a minute. Again, that's the Lord's making. We need to rejoice and give thanks for the aspect that we got, four other crowns that we can be striving for and doing our part in receiving these rewards. All right, but what about that? What do these verses teach us about our Lord? Anything? God's faithful, okay. God is faithful. Why would you say that? Faithful about what? All right, faithful about everything. That's good, yeah. But in this aspect, what was he talking about? Being faithful in those who served him, he's going to reward. There's a verse of scripture in Hebrews 6. And it talks about, he's not going to be a debtor to any man. And it's in the context of about being a servant. You say, well, I served the Lord and I didn't get a thing. Now God says, I'll be a debtor to no man. If you've served me, you're going to be rewarded. All right, what else do these verses teach us about our Lord? What's His desire for us? His desire for us is that we're going to try to find out the heart of our God. The heart of our God, He desires for us to be what? To be servants. So we learned that about our Lord. God's desire for us is that we should be servants. All right? And another part that we learned is that God will reward His servants, those who endure His sufferings, His trials, His tribulations, while we are serving. He's going to reward. So those are the two big facts that we saw in these verses. What He desires and how He rewards us for those who follow His desires. What about mankind? We learn anything about mankind in these verses? Let me ask you about the sin of pride. Sin of pride. Who can bear witness of the sin of pride? And let's talk about unsaved, let's talk about saved. Everybody. Because he's talking to his 12 apostles. Now one is not true, but the other 11 are his followers. So we find out that, wait a minute, even as Christians, we can demonstrate pride. All right? And as we look through those aspect of it, we could say, well, you know what? Christians can at times act like heathens. I mean, that's one of the things that we learn. Man, we're capable of strife. Of course, you don't know any Christian who ever argued or fought with another, right? Well, not until we talk about our mate this week or our children or somebody else closest to us. So what else comes to your mind, though, as you anything else did we learn about individuals? They're fumble figures, right? What else? Well, how can we apply these verses to our change our own behavior? What might you purpose to do as a result of this lesson today? I'll purpose to... All right, you better put on the whole armor, God, all right? All right, Jerry says, seek his will. All right, seek his will, that's good. What else? What should we... All right, excellent, okay. Okay, and you know, we need to purpose rather than to seek to be served. We ought to purpose to serve. I mean, that's a, you know. And... of course, that was the last couple of verses, 28, 29, and 30. Listen, I'll give you a motivation for serving. And a motivation for serving is rewards. You say, why? Why should I? Well, the why is that because God blesses. He blesses obedience. He blesses righteousness. He blesses us when we serve others. He blesses. All right. Anybody, somebody, with another thought about what we looked at here this morning? Nobody? We're all quiet. Okay. Well, as I mentioned, next week we're going to look at the Lord's example, what he does in the Gospels to demonstrate his humility and encouraging his 12 apostles to follow him. Let's thank the Lord. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for our time together in and around your word. Lord, we would pray that you would bless every one of us with a marvelous spirit of humility. And Lord, I would just pray that we would be working out our salvation as we remind ourselves that it's you who gives us the desire and the doing of your good pleasure. Now we just thank you and we praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen.